Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Molly Wood.
And I'm Tom Merritt.
Welcome to It's a Thing, the weekly podcast supported by you. That is a smart, laugh-out-loud podcast that just might change your child's perspective on the state of boredom forever. Thanks for joining us.
That's a lot of promise right there.
That's a lot of promise.
Yeah, but we will deliver.
Disclaimer, I cannot guarantee that you will either laugh out loud or reevaluate your relationship with boredom.
Or that this podcast isn't at all appropriate for your child.
Probably not. Let me just tell you, one of the things I left in the boardroom or the bullpen today is not appropriate.
That was from the boring book, Children's Book About Boredom by Shinsuke Yoshitake.
Which is awesome. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm happy that it exists. Yeah. And also that you have joined us this week for yet another romp through
it is
the,
a romp.
the only podcast I want to do. I love my other podcasts. I really do. But yet, still just a girl with a microphone trying to figure out how to make this my only job.
I love my other children, but I do have a favorite.
I have a favorite.
Oh, my goodness, my goodness. Have you heard about skinship?
Nope. But it feels like it's about to be not appropriate for children.
It's both worse and not as bad as it sounds.
Oh. Okay.
It is a word I keep hearing for relating to somebody with touch. Okay. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I've heard it when people are talking about their love languages, like, oh, my love language is acts of service, or my love language is gifts. Some people say touch, and I've noticed more people saying my love language is skinship. It is the idea of bonding through physical touch and contact, but not always sexual. In fact, not usually sexual when people are talking about it, although it could, you know, could lead to that, but it could also be skinship, like with brothers and sisters and family, and you know, just sort of like you're a touchy person. You like,
right.
You know, you hug and you pat on the back and that kind of thing.
Oh, it's a shame that it sounds so immediately porny because, I mean, I guess it doesn't really. But like when you have an infant, they talk all the time about skin-to-skin contact and how important that
is. Yeah, exactly. It's kind of in that family of things.
It totally is, and it's actually lovely. In fact, I remember probably decades ago now, I was getting my hair cut, and this my hairdresser was talking to me about how one of the things that she really loved about being a hairdresser was that we just don't have a lot of avenues for touch.
Yeah.
In day-to-day life. And she was like, it's wonderful. Like, people need to have hands on them. And it's, like, nice. And massage is that way. Huh. Skinship.
Yeah. And the way everyone's brain, not just yours and mine, but lots of you listening, you know, immediately went to, like, ooh, touching, right? Is part of the, I don't want to say problem, but it's, like, part of what gets in the way. Because you're like, well, you know, I don't want it to be weird kind of situation.
No, it is. It's totally a problem, right? Like, that's such a puritanistic response, and I'm going to let the two of us off the hook because of our shared upbringings.
By Puritans. By literal Puritans.
By pretty much literal Puritans in that part of the country.
They wore the hats and everything.
The hats. They put a board between themselves in bed at night. No touching.
Actually, my parents weren't quite that bad. But yeah, no. It's the culture, right? Yeah.
It's the culture. I will never forget one of the greatest Buzz Out Loud moments of all time. And I think it was unfortunately not recorded. But Veronica asked us, do you remember this? She was like, don't you guys cuddle with your mommies? And Tom and I.
Oh, yeah.
And like, we were talking about, like, she had gone home to visit her family or something. Uh-huh. And she was like, I was snuggling. And we both were like, what? And she's like, don't you guys snuggle with your mommies? Probably. And literally both of us in the exact same tone at the exact same moment were like, no.
And it's not that we didn't love our mothers. It's just not done.
You don't do that.
Yeah, not past a certain age. Obviously, you know, when you're babies and stuff, it's fine. But
that's why we're in therapy now, because they didn't snuggle us. But yes, it is a shame that that's any response to this at all, because in fact, human touch is like, people crave it. They go crazy without it. That's one of the reasons solitary confinement is such a, you know.
Yeah.
Wow, that's cool. Skinship.
And skinship, I think, kind of flows in with other, previously we've talked about it, you know, being a thing to be less sexual, like mm-hmm. younger generations being not that interested in the dating scene and sex scene and all of that. And I think the skinship flows into that of like, it's not weird. It's just, you know, you just touch people and it's fine. And Saraya, I'm totally with you. Saraya's like, I don't know, hair touching is still pretty intimate. Not just anyone can touch my hair without permission. And I think a lot of people are that way.
Well, this feels like skinship is like a word for a larger trend, because did we talk about how like cuddle puddles?
Oh yeah, right. No, it fits into that too. Like, you're right.
Yeah, there's kind of those, they're not dating apps, but they are. It's basically just like come over and snuggle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interestingly, this is most popular in usage in Japan and South Korea, and it's an Anglicism, so they say skinship. I don't know. Yeah. I find it fascinating, because I kept hearing people say it, and I was like, okay, I need to dig into this, and it's definitely a trend.
Yeah, it is. Oh, we are such a lonely species right now.
And as native English speakers, particularly American native English speakers, I think it sounds weirder than it does in other languages, where
I'm sure.
It's a borrowed word, right?
Like if we were saying skin to skin contact, skin to skin contact is basically a medical term. You know, I mean, it's just like, that's how you should interact with your baby and whatever.
Yeah. I don't know of a good example of this, so I'm going to use a really bad example. Harikari. Right, is the Japanese word for killing yourself ceremonially as an I'm sorry.
Ritual suicide. Uh-huh.
And okay. I'm sure, I'm going to guess, that sounds a lot worse to say if you are a fluent native Japanese speaker than for us. It's like, it sounds a little like that old sports broadcaster.
And we like say it in a joking way.
Right. Exactly. So I imagine skinship is probably not exactly a parallel to that, but I imagine there's a similar thing of like, it doesn't have the same effect, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And it does not make you think, and this is probably just because I'm reading those like hyper-violent fairy magic books. Thank you, Sarah J. Maas. It probably doesn't also make you think of like a ship made out of skin.
No, it didn't.
Hasn't happened yet in that book, but I like won't be surprised if it does.
Yeah, but it might make me think of it now that you've said that.
Sorry.
Sailing away on our skinship.
They're very violent. Really gory. There's a skin
sailing in a ship of skin.
Right, I'm just gonna move us right along before someone throws up. I
Someone
being maybe me.
Possibly.
All I talk about in my house now with my child, somewhat unexpectedly, is basketball. I say that because he was a theater kid when he was little, and now we are all sporty all the time.
And it's March.
We're playing the tournament. But, I mean, we watch basketball every – it's like – I mean, it's hilarious. And I am in a group chat with my brother, my son, and, like, my oldest friend – and all we talk about is basketball, mostly them. I jump in now and again, and then I mute them during like the trade deadline and things like that. And a heated topic is always and always has been who's the best player of all time, you know. And then there's the like LeBron versus Michael Jordan and blah blah blah.
Yeah, which is a meme in and of itself, right there.
Exactly. So this is all leading to this new basketball meme that I believe is on the verge of spreading generally into the world, which is why I'm bringing it here. And that meme is called "We Done with the 90s."
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. That setup made this a lot more punch, gave it a lot more punch than it would have had otherwise.
Yeah, you thought it was going to be like boring basketball stuff and I was going to be all like, here's some stats. No, "We Done with the 90s." And it has started This is new, right? This is like March. Like the Know Your Meme entry on it was posted 15 days ago.
Oh, wow. Okay, this is fresh.
It is specifically about, right now, mostly about 90s basketball play. So, mm-hmm. like, we are done talking about Michael Jordan. And there are all these TikTokers who are making videos of 90s basketball players sucking and just and like 90s games being super boring and slow. And they all talk about how Michael Jordan didn't have a left hand.
Oh,
there's a lot of this like
wow.
he didn't have a left hand.
Wow. Michael Jordan had no left hand.
Michael Jordan had no left hand.
I mean, that is like one of those arguments that got you thrown out of bars in the 90s. If so, like yes. somebody might try to bring that up and people would shout it like, ah, rah, rah. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. You this would not be out here being like, Michael Jordan had no left hand. But these TikTokers, like, nothing is sacred anymore. And so now they're like, we're done hearing about how great Michael Jordan was. We're done with the 90s. There's a we done with the 80s. And given how intense 90s culture has been over the last few years, I am actually very excited to watch this morph into...
expand beyond the basketball.
Who knows what else. Exactly. Yeah. We're done with the 90s.
I'm sick of hearing about Nirvana.
But yeah, like we done with the 90s is a thing.
I really like this. This is a great
it's really
find.
Fun. It's so fun.
I always like to do this when I see these sort of things about, okay, so in the 90s, when I was in my 20s, this would have been we done with the 60s, right?
Right.
By, you know, transitive. And I'm mm-hmm. like, oh, yeah, no, everybody talked about Wilt Chamberlain, all the old people, right? Well, yeah, they don't play basketball like Wilt Chamberlain. And the comeback from us would be like, that game was slow as molasses. Mm-hmm. The game in the 90s, fast. We have Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan would eat Wilt Chamberlain alive kind of stuff,
exactly.
whether it's true or not.
We had the Showtime Lakers speeding up the game.
Magic and, Johnson, know. You cannot compare. That's 80s, but still, yeah. I mean, that... perfectly translates to now. If like, okay, so now I'm going back and like, your Michael Jordan was slow. He didn't have a left hand. LeBron James would eat him alive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He shot, you know, 4 threes in a season or whatever. And I'm like, but the game was different. And yeah, no, these kids are coming for us.
Yeah.
And they're starting with Michael Jordan and they won't stop there.
It's the circle of life.
They're done with the 90s. It is. I mean, it's just generational.
Yeah. And they're not wrong.
They're not wrong. It is pretty funny now when you watch those games. Like, it's true that the ball movement is a lot slower. It's true. Nobody takes threes because Steph Curry changed the game. Like, all of that is true. Wilt Chamberlain was out there playing with, like, a bunch of plumbers. But it's no matter. Nevertheless, the fact that they're able to meme it now is hysterical.
Yeah.
And I love it.
Because the game evolves and gets better. So if everything's working right, then the modern player should be better than players from 30 years ago. Like, that's just... how it goes.
We're done with the 90s.
We are not done with the Willy Wonka chocolate experience, though. I almost brought this earlier, and I'm glad I waited.
Really?
Have you heard about the fiasco, first of all, in Glasgow? The fiasco in Glasgow, the Willy Wonka.
That's a bar, to use the parlance. I have only recently heard about it and do not even know the details. So I think that I'm not alone and you should explain it. Because I heard somebody make reference to it and was like, wait, what happened?
Yeah. So the part of me wishes I had brought this earlier. It was an attempt to trade on the movie Fury, mm-hmm. you know, people getting excited about the Timothée Chalamet movie. But for whatever reason, and there's all kinds of explanations of what happened, it was a disaster. It was like, a big gymnasium looking thing with like really disappointing decorations that were made of paper and all these people lined up thinking they were going to get, you know, the Willy Wonka world that was shown in the photos on the brochure. And you walk in and like, you know, imagine a 1990s first grade class had done the decorations. Like that was the level of it. I did watch.
Didn't it also stink really bad? Like legitimately.
Yeah,
stink?
There was all stuff like there was like something outside like that hadn't been cleaned up or something that was filling it with weird smells.
Oh,
there were a couple of people that were
fire festival for
fire
children?
Fest for kids. It wasn't quite as dangerous to be honest, but still it was a mess because a ton of people showed up thinking they were going to get an immersive experience, and there were these folks hired to play Oompa Loompas who were like showed up like. like, okay, what do we do? And then they were apologizing to the families as they came in, like, sorry, we didn't know it was going to be like this either. So it was a whole thing. But the reason I am glad I sat on it is, according to Vulture, it's going to be made into a musical.
No.
Willie Fest, the musical, from British producer Richard Kraft.
Okay, first of all, Willie Fest is far worse than Skinship. I think we can all agree.
Especially when it's a British producer who knows exactly what they're doing with it.
Exactly. Willie Fest, the musical. Wow, this is so sleazy and brilliant. I mean, way to cash in.
Yeah.
There were two competing documentaries about Firefest. So, like, bravo to them for realizing that they should make some money off of this, but Lord, let it flop.
In the press release, they said, "We believe this can be Waiting for Guffman with scam artists." High School Musical, the musical, the series, songwriters are on board. The folks who did Ratatouille, the TikTok musical, are on board.
Whoa.
Some actual Broadway songwriters, Alan Zachary and Michael Weiner, are on board.
Kraft Engel Productions, veterans of ABC's The Little Mermaid Live, is producing.
Yep. So, I mean, these are not scam artists putting it together, but they are taking inspiration from what was very much a disappointment.
I mean, that's going to be pretty funny. I'm not going to lie. Like, yeah. It could turn out to be pretty good. I'm picturing the stage version with song of kids wandering into this sort of sad sack situation and like just rotten jelly beans on the floor and stuff. Like, that's funny, actually.
Yeah. They could pull that off.
I mean, you should email them and be like, for a small royalty fee, I will allow you to use Fiasco in Glasgow. Because, like,
I mean, if somebody hasn't used that, I'd be very disappointed in the humanity, to be
amazing.
Honest.
Amazing.
Yeah. Also, why isn't there a Firefest musical? Or is there? You know, principle of the internet is never say why isn't there before you
search. I was just going to say, we should not assume that there isn't, because...
Ah! May 17th, 2023, Billboard magazine, Billy McFarland says he's developing a Firefest Broadway musical. Thank you.
There we go.
So it just hasn't been put together yet. Good.
Yeah.
I feel better.
What? The guy who did Firefest hasn't pulled off his project yet? I cannot believe it.
What? Yeah.
All right. My final thing for today is as much a surprise to me as it is to anyone my age who grew up on, among other movies, the movie Romancing the Stone, in which it was drilled into our head in every possible way that Cartagena and Colombia were the most dangerous places on earth that no one would ever go. And that's like the last, you know, other than coffee, like that's the last, I think, sustained thought I gave to Colombia. Like, you'd hear about it and there'd be this and that and there'd be like a sad thing. No, it turns out that quietly under our nose, Colombia in the last 2 years or so, maybe more, three or four, has turned into the hot destination in the world. Like, Colombia, specifically Cartagena. Cartagena is like the New Mexico City. Everybody's going there. I cannot tell you how many people, and I finally was like, all right, I'm calling it, because I saw like a note on LinkedIn about somebody who had left a job or gotten laid off, and they were like, after some time, I'm going to spend some time in Colombia, and after that time, I'm going to, and I was like,
you
okay,
know,
all
as
right.
You do.
Some this is what
Colombia.
Colombia. It's possible that it's also the New Mexico City in the sense that like all the kind of irritating millennials are the ones who are going there. I'm really in my Gen X tea today. But it is okay. Over the last year, Colombia has had a 24% increase in international tourist visits. At the record, the end of 2023 had record income of $9 billion from air passenger transportation and travel. So it was up 22% over 2022. And then another 24% from 23 to 24, or 22 to 23, and a 70% growth compared to 2020, which was the pandemic, I know. But still, it's blowing up. Everybody is going to visit Colombia. And it sounds, by the way, kind of amazing.
Okay.
Like, so, I'm seeing pictures of Carthagena, and I'm like, oh, dang it. But then there was that brief story about people getting their kidneys taken.
We did do this. I finally dug it up, but it's fine. In 2021.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, so and then it's actually just a check-in.
I now remember it because at the time, it was a story about Aguila Roja coffee and how people were starting to travel to Colombia again because they had just made the peace with the rebels.
Yeah.
And so it was the, hey, traveling to Colombia can be a thing, right? Like,
wow,
people are now doing it. What you're following up on, and it is a thing in its own right 3 years later, because that was season five of It's a Thing, and we're in season eight. Wait, was that season? No, we're in season nine. So that was 20. That was 2020 then.
Oh. And it's up 70% since then.
Exactly. So it's like what you're saying is, we said traveling to Colombia at all was a thing. Now traveling to Colombia is a thing.
Is the thing.
Yeah.
Fascinating. Because parts of this were sounding kind of familiar to me, but...
Yeah, same here. I looked up Colombia with the wrong spelling earlier. That's why I didn't find it till now.
Oh, that's funny. Okay, yeah. Yeah, no, it's like... I mean, they're sort of starting to win me over. Like, Ambassador Domo just put this photo in here. Consider a Colombia vacation, South America's emerging hotspot. And the pictures? Oh, my God. Like, the beautiful beaches. It's... I mean, it looks stunning. There was... I was trying to find it earlier. There was a little story about how, like... TikTokers were using, like, people were using this to then scam people into coming to Colombia and getting their kidneys stolen. So, as always,
that can happen anywhere.
Depends on, right, wherever you were going to go. I was talking to somebody actually who was going to go to Mexico City recently and was like, should I be worried? And I was like, girl, you live in Oakland. Like, Mexico City is not more dangerous than Oakland.
You'll be fine.
And I suspect that, like, Bangkok, Cartagena, like, these places where you think you're going to get your kidney stolen, probably the same.
Same. I mean, people do get their kidneys stolen, but most people don't.
No? Oh, yeah.
So you'll probably be fine.
Most is doing a lot of work there. Like, virtually no one.
Yeah. And the Romancing the Stone Columbia that we were warned against isn't there.
Long gone.
It's no longer like, oh, don't go there because people are always looking for hostages. You know, like, that's gone. That's not happening.
That's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're just down to watch your kidneys, which is just good advice whenever you travel.
I mean, just it really is.
And Colombia is gorgeous. I mean, I've never been there, but the pictures are gorgeous. So
gorgeous.
It feels like, oh, this is great. They've finally, you know, the peace deal was very controversial when the government put it into place, but it's paying off. So
it is definitely paying off. Oh, God, even this article I found includes a picture of just like the worst guy in the world with like... I'm sorry to report that going to Colombia is a thing and Cartagena is overrun with millennial hipsters. So travel at your own risk.
Yeah.
Way less worried about the kidney thing.
Worry about punching someone in the kidneys because you're so frustrated.
It's the mustache. Okay.
Feedback at itsathing.me. Amber on pets, right? Hi, Morito. Since y'all were discussing cat self-distribution and dogs picking their folks, I feel compelled to delight you with the way in which a guinea pig rescue in North Texas helps folks find their pets. Guinea pigs are herd animals, so it's inhumane to have just one. So if you have a single piggy, you can drop them off on Saturday morning and they'll have them speed date the rest of the single pigs at the rescue so they can find themselves a new friend.
What?
Also, my weird pandemic hobby was sewing costumes for my guinea pigs, which is totally fine and normal, writes Amber. And we agree. By the way, when Molly started talking about Love is Blind, I was literally yelling the Travis Kelce bit she was just about to bring up at my car stereo. Okay, I'm done now. Thanks for all you do.
I love this show. It's such a collaborative experience.
Amber, you're the best. I love it so much. Yeah.
Oh, that's so amazing. And then MRCP sent us an Instagram DM on the term credits. Credits, evidently, is a thing, like a movie has at the end, but at the end of social media posts. But also they're irrelevant.
Oh, okay.
I know. Which there's a lot going on there and I have yet to see it. And now I'm going to be on the lookout because I can't wait. Or, says MRCP, someone makes a point on their video and says, roll the credits, as if that's all there is to be said on that topic. Their view is perfect. No refuting things. Maybe it's the evolution of saying period emphatically at the end of a rant, or like full stop or something.
It's the mic drop.
Roll the credits.
Roll the credits. Yeah.
I like it. I'm here
I've actually
it.
Heard people say roll the credits in that sense before. So it makes sense that it would become kind of a common thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that, MRCP. You know what? Thanks for that.
Super side note, mini scene. I saw Dune 2 this weekend in a movie theater. I know.
Yeah.
What? Crazy. No after credit scene in either Dune movie. Very confusing to the world. The world is stumped by this. Like, Marvel has ruined us. Because now we all just sit there like, I really have to pee, but I mean, you can't.
Yeah, people just sit around during the credits now.
And I kind of like that they just killed it. They were like, no.
And they look at folks who are leaving like, what is wrong with you?
Yeah.
Right?
You fool.
But Dune doesn't need an after credits scene.
No.
It's based on a book. There's no like
we all know
wild surprise of like, ooh, Christopher Walken is going to be the God Emperor in the next. Like, that's just not, you don't need that.
Oh, that was delightful though. Spoiler alert.
All right. Let's get to our shout outs based on the American Chess Code from the British Chess Company, Part 2, Section 5, Touching Men and Castling.
Rich, you monster. That's why he's not here.
He didn't even know I was using skinship, by the way.
No, but he's not here because he knows what's going to happen. All right. All right. I can do this. I'm going to do
jump
it. I'm
in
taking
first?
Paragraph one.
Go for it.
I can do this. I got this. Touching accidentally, touching in the removal of Brian John Porcaro, accidentally placed on AJ Venturella, touching in the replacement of Eric Duncan, which has been accidentally displaced from Benjamin Forrest, or knocked off AB Puppy or overturned, or which by mistake has been removed from Jake Woods, otherwise than, but as if, in making a move. Touching in accordance with Law 3 or Law 4, and touching in the fulfillment of any requirement made under Gabriel Cohen are excluded from Laws 5, 6, and 11.
It is understood that no penalty attaches to the touching of Morris Jones, which is not on Kevin Sill, and which the Laura Abel does not, in the same turn to play, place on Valor Trucks, and that penalties A, B, and C are only exacted in accordance with Joe Hood. One sentence. If Lee Price, in his own turn to play, removes Louis St. Amour from a square and, instead of forthwith completing a move, holds this Mike Akins in his hand, he may be required to replace James C. Smith. And we all know there's no replacing James C. Smith.
Never.
So that's an impossible task.
I would like to clarify that that entire paragraph that I read was one sentence.
I didn't even notice that. You're right. There's just an
the
M dash.
The whole thing. All of that was the kind of touching that is excluded from Laws 5, 6, and 11.
Yeah. All of it.
All of it.
Which we'll next week on our shout outs laws 5, 6, and 11.
AKA everybody hates chess. Oh my God. Thank you for making that possible, patrons. Patreon.com/it's a thing is where you can support this show at any level you like. Shout out level gets you shout outs. Any level gets you access to our Discord and an ad-free RSS feed and our eternal love and devotion.
You can also support the show by buying some things through our affiliate links. Amazon gave us like an incentive, so somebody buy a $9,000 TV, please. Look for them
cool happens.
In the show notes or over at our shopping page at itsathing.me/shop. You can also email us your things to feedback@itsathing.me.
Yay, see you next week.
Bye.
Bye. Give it to me.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.